From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week, from the Music Center at Strathmore in Bethesda, Maryland, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a teenage baritone from New Jersey singing Vaughn Williams and a 15-year-old local violinist playing Sanson. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. We're really excited to be doing our first show at the Strathmore Center. Strathmore, for those of you who haven't been here, is a beautiful center for the arts located just outside the Beltway near Washington, D.C., in the rolling hills of Maryland. Strathmore has seven, count them, seven resident arts organizations, including the Baltimore Symphony, the Levine School of Music, and the Maryland Classic Youth Orchestra, a member of which we'll hear toward the end of our show today. But as usual, we've brought this Strathmore audience some terrific musicians from all kinds of places in the country, like our first young performers from the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia. They are Justine Lamb Budge and Robin Bullinger, both 15 years old, are violinists. Paul Laraya, an 18-year-old violist, and 18-year-old cellist Sarah Rommel. Please welcome the Newman String Quartet. Hello, Newman. No, Sarah. Why the Newman String Quartet?
Well, the Newman Quartet is one of several endowed chamber music ensembles at Settlement Music School. We are endowed by Ann Newman, so the full name of our quartet is the Ann Newman Advanced Study Scholarship Quartet.
Wow, really trips off the tongue. Really nice. Yeah. Not only that, you came in second at the famous Fischoff Chamber Music Competition this year. Congratulations. That's a big honor.
Thank you.
Sarah, why don't you tell everybody about the amazing music you guys are starting our show off with.
We will be playing the first movement from Claude Debussy's String Quartet in G minor.
Now, Sarah, you have your music. It's on your stand.
Yes.
Tell everybody why I'm asking that.
It was the second round of the Fischoff competition, semifinals, and we had just finished playing the first two pieces. We were about to begin Puccini, Chrysanthemi, and I went to pull my music out and it wasn't there. So I checked again, was not there. So I whispered to my quartet, I don't have my Puccini. And they checked their music, it wasn't there either. So I had the score with me, luckily, and I pulled that out and bent the pages for easy turning and went through it. And we made it to the finals.
And second prize was a nice finish.
Yes, right.
Nicely done. Okay, when you're ready, and all your music is laid out, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
Opening movement of Debussy's String Quartet, played for us by the Newman Advanced Study String Quartet from the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia. Our 15-year-old violinists, Justine Lamb Budge and Robin Bollinger, our 18-year-old violist, Paul Loria, and our 18-year-old cellist, Sarah Rommel. Justine and Sarah, incidentally, are both recipients of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Congratulations on that, ladies. And of course, we mentioned before that you all won second place at the Fischhoff competition, a fantastic honor. Paul, what do you think the judges picked up on? What was the special quality about your group? What do you think it was?
Well, personally, I feel that our group has a certain kind of group energy that maybe the other groups, you know, may have or may not have. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, how close we are as friends.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good chemistry.
But also, I think it has to do with the fact that we all kind of take responsibility for our own roles and put it together. We're each strong players on our own. If we put it all together, you know.
It's a perfect balance, I think, of deference to each other and also a fair amount of profile to each solo part.
We're all equals.
It's a beautiful unanimity of sound that you guys get. I mean, even in some of the best quartets, sometimes the first violinist thinks, you know, oh, I should be the next Heifetz. The cellist is sitting there, oh, I really want to direct, you know, who knows. But there really seems to be a, you know, an equality and a real surge of energy due to that.
We've known each other for a very long time. I mean, I've known Paul since first grade.
Wow. So that must help.
Very long time.
That must help, too.
And we've all known each other and are familiar with each other's playing.
Yeah. So. Robin, don't you want to give a shout out to your coach of this fine group?
Absolutely. Our coach is Mr. Sidney Curtis at the Settlement Music School, and he's very special to all of us. He's especially dear to me because I've known him for most of my life, if not all of it. And he's very deeply committed
Yeah, you were saying he was a very big part of your win at the Fish Off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, he gets really emotional, and he's just so attached to all of us, and he expresses it very easily in tears.
But besides that, he's always the first person to go, "Bravo!"
It's great. But when we were at Fish Off, he was too
crying.
Proud of us, so he couldn't yell "Bravo" because he was crying.
Is it true, Justine, that you are the girl who drove over her violin?
That was me. Although I was about 10, so my mom was driving. But yes, it was still my fault, and it was still me. I was going to camp early in the morning. I was exhausted. I had an audition that morning. And so, you know, I pack up my violin, get in the car, and leave the violin outside under the wheel. And didn't realize anything. Ran back in the house a couple times, and then we drove over it and made this huge sound, and I immediately knew what it was. My mom just had no idea like what it could be. She didn't think that I would do that. And so we got out of the car, and I see it there, and I start crying. I'm miserable. I'm like, what's gonna happen to me? Mm-hmm. And my mom started laughing, which was crazy, because I was expecting to be, you know, killed for that, but, you know, she was laughing, so.
Really? And you yourself have become quite famous for this.
Yes,
people
unfortunately.
Come up to you?
Yeah, people just, you know, some people I don't know will just say, "Are you that girl, you know, that did that?" Yeah.
Well, Justine, since you were such a good sport about exploring your embarrassing story, you can tell everybody about Paul's little annoying problem.
Yes. We all appreciate Paul's humor and his talent. However, he has a pretty bad habit of saying the wrong thing quite often. So
all the time.
All the time.
Just kidding.
Really?
So
he means well.
So actually, there's one story in particular. We were at the same camp during the summer, and I had just finished performing the third movement of Sibelius, the violin concerto. And I come off stage, and I'm all, you know, I'm gasping for breath and, you know, whatever. He's the first one there, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. He's going to, you know, say good job. Mm-hmm. And I get off, and he's like, I had no idea how hard that was. And I was like,
it was supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah, it usually is supposed to be a compliment. You can explain yourself.
Paul, what were you thinking?
I really don't know.
He never knows.
Can you understand how Justine could be offended by this? I mean, Sibelius Concerto is hard, of course, famously hard, but she was supposed to be making it sound easy, look easy.
Yeah, I see that now.
Now.
But somehow I always manage to say the wrong thing.
Well, we want to help you, my boy. That's why we've prepared a top worst list for you. Okay, these are the top worst things you can say after a performance. And as therapy, we'd like you to read them, Paul. You okay with that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, number 10.
I didn't know that piece was so hard.
You picked a real classic when you said that one to Justine. Go on, number 9.
Is that really what the composer intended?
Ooh,
ouch.
Really bad. Number 8.
I don't care what anyone else says. I thought you played that well.
Depression and paranoia. That's really nice. Number 7.
Was your dress bothering you?
I've heard that.
God. Number 6.
A really interesting concert.
I think I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Number 5.
So, do you usually have more people in the audience than that?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've definitely had that one before. Number 4.
I love the kind of music you play. It's so relaxing.
Number 3.
Did they give you a chance to warm up?
Oh,
that's a harsh one. That's a harsh one.
You're brutal, Paul. Number two. Really.
I'm just reading.
Very well, too, am I? Number two.
Don't listen to me. I don't know anything about music.
Yeah.
And the number one worst thing to say after a performance is...
Wasn't that the soundtrack for that Visa ad?
Very well done, Paul. I hope we've purged you of those horrible things to say. Yeah.
Thank
and meanwhile, you
thank
guys, just a spectacular performance of that Debussy, just beautiful.
Thank you.
No wonder
thank
you're
you.
Such winners. Great having thank you with you. Us. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Newman String Quartet from the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia. Justine Lambudge, Robin Bollinger, the now slightly more sensitive Paul Lariah, and Sarah Rommel.
You'll only have great things to say after listening to the incredible performances on our website. Listen to From the Top anytime you like at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is a terrific classical guitarist from Austin, Texas, 15-year-old Thalis Smith. Welcome, Thalis. What have you brought to play for us?
I'm going to play Etude No. 1 by Giulio Regondi. Thank you.
Thalis Smith, 15-year-old guitarist from Austin, Texas, playing Giulio Rigondi's Etude No. 1. Thalis, very much like Chopin, there are etudes of dexterity and virtuosity. I would say very much in the Chopin mold, that's more of a study in phrasing. There's a wonderful fluidity and a great separation between melody and accompaniment that you're able to get out of this one tiny little instrument. It was just a beautiful performance.
Thank you.
Really nicely done. Where does your name come from, Thalis? What does that mean?
Well, I directly got it from my great-grandfather, but I don't know how he got it, but it is a Greek name. One of the very first Greek philosophers was Thales, at least that's how we pronounce it, and he was accredited as being the father of geometry.
Oh, okay. Nice provenance. And I think probably better than Hypotenuse Smith, for instance. Thalis, you give Austin, Texas, your hometown, credit for the fact that you play the guitar. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Many people know Austin as a center for folk and blues and other kinds of music, but it also has a lot of classical music, especially classical guitar. So if I lived anywhere else, El Paso, say, I don't think I'd be playing this instrument.
Here's another thing that probably helped you spend time studying the guitar. You don't have a TV at home. Why is that?
That's just sort of what my family does. When I was younger, we had a TV, and over a couple of years, it just sort of was gone, and I don't miss it whatsoever. Whenever I watch too much TV, it's like I've eaten too much candy, and I just feel a little sick.
I agree with you. Anything more than, say, a half hour a week, that being South Park, is a waste of time. Just playing phenomenally well. Really great having you with us, Thalis. Thanks for being here. Thalis Smith, 15-year-old guitarist from Austin, Texas. And now we'll have a little bit of singing from up north in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Please welcome 18-year-old baritone John Brancy. John, I really think this song is perfect for a strapping young man like yourself. While I head back to the piano, why don't you tell everybody what you're going to sing and maybe a little bit about the song.
All right. I'll be singing Youth and Love from the Songs of Travel Cycle by Rafe Vaughan Williams. And I think it's a bit about travel and leaving a comfort place. I mean, I've experienced a little bit of it in my short life. And I think the journey is really taking forth, like really starting with me going to college next year. And the song really portrays a lot of my own life. So,
looking back and looking forward.
Yes, exactly.
So we're looking forward to this. Let's do it.
Thank you.
And far on the land.
Singing for us, Rafe Vaughan Williams' Youth and Love, we heard baritone John Brancy, 18 years old, from Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Just a beautiful, beautiful voice you have.
Thank you.
Just gorgeous. And
thank you.
And John, I really liked how you became the young man in the song, but apparently you love creating characters in general.
Yeah.
What sorts of things do you do?
Well, I've been in musicals for the past, I think, 5 years through middle school and high school, and I also do a lot of filmmaking and acting, and I find acting to be a huge portion of my art form. I'm not just a voice, I'm not just a body up on stage. I really think that emotion is a huge part to every piece I perform and every bit of art I indulge myself in.
So you love to act,
yeah,
and you've grown up doing a lot of musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the classical world appeal to you so much?
In popular music, and not so much Broadway, but popular music, you can either be happy or you can be sad in the song, whereas in classical music, you can be happy but with this melancholy sort of feel to it. So it's
a sense of inner conflict to a lot of the operatic characters.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a real
a maelstrom
of
emotion.
Huge.
Having just seen Pirates of the Caribbean, I know about maelstroms.
Yeah. Oh.
And now you've done some choral singing, I understand.
Yes.
Enjoy that?
I've been singing in choir since I was since fifth grade, and since I was a little boy soprano, and my voice dropped actually in seventh grade, which is sort of a little rare.
Nice.
But my choir in high school is the Clearview Regional Vocal Ensemble, and we've been to ACDA conventions in L.A. and in New York, and it's a wonderful ensemble to perform in. I've learned so much from them.
And the chorus actually toured the promised land for opera, Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did you go in Italy?
We went from Milan up down to Rome, and we visited Venice in between Florence. We performed liturgies, and I actually in La Casa Verdi, I got to perform a solo recital for a lot of retired opera singers.
Was that intimidating?
Yeah.
I mean, singing Italian for Italians?
Thank you. Yes, it was, because I was singing Italian for Italians.
Yeah.
So, it was the first time, too, so I was a little scared. But
they embraced you. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
nice.
They loved it. Yep.
Fantastic. I understand on that particular trip you learned that opera is not the only national obsession in Italy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was there during the semifinals for the World Cup, and it was out of this world. We took a trip. It was about 45 minutes outside of Rome. And we were just having a little liturgy for this little local church, and then we had dinner, and the game had started, and my friend had this dumb idea of wearing a German jersey the night of the game, yeah. And the people were just like, what are you doing? Come on. You know, come on. No.
Talking with their hands and everything. Yeah,
right. Of course. Throwing spaghetti at him. No, I'm just kidding.
He survived. He actually survived.
He survived.
That's
and,
good.
So the game is still going on, and we were on the bus ride home, and the game ended on the bus. Italy won, and as we entered the city, chaos.
Yeah.
Looking out the sides of the windows, there's flags waving, and there's bonfires in the middle of the street, and the bus is shaking, and we're screaming, and my choral director's like, no, you're not allowed to leave the bus. No.
Don't leave the
bus.
Don't
go out the windows. No. And it was
very exciting time.
Oh yeah.
You've got an exciting time coming up. You're going to study next year at the Juilliard School. You've said that your audition was actually one of the most inspiring moments of your life so far. Usually they're petrifying experiences.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, I was definitely nervous in the first part of it, but once I got there and got in just right into the room, I just felt this wonderful welcoming, and it was 14 voice panelists there. And I think that's it's almost as their
whole faculty.
Yeah. And where I've had my other auditions, it was only a few people. But they were just, sing all your pieces. Just sing them. We're not here to critique you, really. It's just, we just want to hear good singing. That's pretty much what I got from it. And it was just so welcoming. And I could just delve into every emotion in every single piece. But it was definitely one of my most inspiring things in my young career.
I'm sure you made their day as well.
Oh, and I hope
we're
so.
Quite sure you'll thrive at Juilliard. And, and it was a great honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks John. Thank you. John Brancy, 18 years old, from Mullica Hill, New Jersey.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're coming to you from the Music Center at Strathmore in Bethesda, Maryland. Up next, a local girl performs Saint-Saëns, and roving reporter Taja Coleman-Jones joins us to talk about powerful women pianists. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show at Strathmore is made possible with support from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. Special thanks this week to Classical WETA 90.9 FM. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Yes, now it's time for our local girl. She's a member of the Maryland Classic Youth Orchestra, which is in residence here at Strathmore. From Damascus, Maryland, please welcome 15-year-old violinist Madeline Watson. Welcome, Madeline. I understand you come from a big family. How many of you are there?
There's six of us in all. I have four brothers and one sister.
Wow. So how about you and your sister? Do you bond in self-defense against all those boys?
For instance, one of us will say, I'll hold the bathroom for you while you go do something so the boys can't come in. Or we hold the contact solution for each other since we all wear contacts.
I had no idea. Yeah. Quite the intrigue. But your mom really knows how to get the most out of a large family. What does she do?
Yeah. She has like a rotating chore chart. So like she rotates them every week so you don't have the same chore.
Lots of chores around a household, I imagine.
Yeah.
So what's the worst chore in the Watson household, would you say?
Washing the floors. Yeah.
I mean, like, down on your hands and knees washing the floors?
Yeah,
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah. It's
how about music in your family? Do you all play instruments?
All except for the youngest because he's only five.
Give him time.
My older brother plays violin and my sister plays cello, and then the two younger boys play flute and clarinet.
Oh, fantastic. Do you ever play concerts together?
We haven't, but we're going to this month all together.
Very exciting. I hope that goes well for you.
Thank you.
So we'll hope that From the Top can see some more Watsons in the future.
Sure.
We'll look forward to that. We're going to hear you first. Let's tell everybody what you and I are going to play together.
We're going to play the first movement of the Concerto No. 3 in B minor by Saint-Saëns.
Okay.
Thank you. Podcasts From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
We've got our third Jack Kent Cook Young Artist up next. She's a fantastic 18-year-old pianist from Los Angeles. Please welcome Eun-hae Lee. Eun-hae, welcome. You're from Los Angeles, but you haven't lived there for very long. Tell everybody where your family's from.
My family is from South Korea.
Now, Eun-hae, translated roughly into English, is?
Grace.
Grace. That's what you like your friends to call you. May I call you Grace?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Grace, would you tell everybody what you're going to play for us?
I'm going to play the fugue from Samuel Barber's Sonata.
Thank you.
Grace, that was spectacular. It was really spectacular. You performed The Barber with such authority. It sounds to me like it's a piece you've always wanted to play your whole life. Is that true?
Not really.
Really?
No. So my teacher recommended this, but at first it sounded really weird to me because it was atonal and it had a whole lot different language. So...
So what happened? How did your teacher talk you into it?
Well, so she thought that it would be a very good piece for me. Mm-hmm. So she recommended to me to listen to it like a couple times a day.
Good plan. Yeah. And so did you grow to like it? I mean, it really sounds like you love this piece. Really,
yeah,
by
now
the way you
I
play
love it.
It. Yeah. But it does have that, it's wonderful because it sort of straddles the whole of music history, you know, the age-old form of the fugue from Bach, and then it has a sort of a jazzy feel to it. And
yeah.
It's just magnificent, and you just play it so well. So your teacher brought you this piece, but who's been, would you say, the major influence musically on your life?
Well, actually, my dad has been the music mentor.
Yeah?
Yes.
What does he do?
He's a minister, music minister at church, and we play at church together a lot.
And he conducts the choruses and all the kinds of things like that?
Yes.
Fantastic. So music is always, always around. Your dad's been the musical force in your life, but your mom plays another role for you. What's that?
Right. So she's like my best friend. So she understands me so well. So everything I say, she really listens to me carefully, and she understands everything.
Nice. I know you're going to college or... Grace, I know you're going to college or a conservatory next year to study piano, but you have a particular concern about trying to have a career as a female pianist. Why is that?
Because usually female pianists are weaker than men.
So, really?
Yes.
Really?
I see that generally.
And I guess as great and understanding as your mom is, she doesn't exactly dissuade you from this opinion. She agrees with you?
Yes. So what she said was that she wishes that I was a man for piano.
Well, Tasia Coleman-Jones is here to give you a pep talk on this very subject.
You know what, Grace? You and your mom have got to give up on this men are stronger piano stuff.
I know. But you have to admit that men win most of the competitions.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so. True. But you got to look at which pianists become the real artists. Sure, there are men, but there have been plenty of women, too. Plenty of awesomely powerful women. Women who get a huge sound. Here, set up a little slideshow for you. Grace, I want to show you just a few of the great women pianists who've wailed on the piano just as loud as any man. You ready?
Okay.
This is the fabulous Martha Argerich. I did my research. A guy named Andrew Simmons in The Guardian in London said, quote, "Her music making is of breathtaking virtuosity and electrifying power."
Well, she's pretty powerful.
Quite powerful. This is actually a recording of her concert, her debut concert, playing the Liszt B minor sonata. I think she rivals Horowitz technically and certainly in sound. Wonderful.
And Martha Argerich, by the way, is not a big woman. People say she has small hands. All right, next one. This is Tatiana Nikolaeva. She's no longer with us, but she's one of Chris's all-time favorite pianists, male or female.
Yeah, this is her playing Beethoven Opus 111, and she played absolutely everything. Shostakovich, Bach, every piece you could name, she knew. And such a powerful woman and a great, great, great artist.
Sounds pretty powerful, right, Grace?
Yeah.
And is she a man?
No.
Heck no. Of course course not. All right, check this one out. This is Olga Kern. She's young and the first woman to win the Van Cliburn competition in, like, over 30 years. Move over, men. Ronald Brown in the Washington Post says Kern's musicality saturates the hall and is almost visual in its intensity.
This is a piece she actually played at the Cliburn competition, a real virtuoso work by Judith Lang Zamont. Really nice pianist.
Listen to her. So, are these women inspiring?
Yes, completely inspiring.
See?
Yes.
You just have to focus on the history of women pianists and don't listen to anybody who says that women can't play with power.
It's totally true. Actually, you know, Grace, big sound really can come in all kinds of packages. My first teacher at conservatory, Beatrice Airdley, had tiny hands. And so having that equipment at her disposal, she really had to use her whole body and really learn how to use everything from the back to the arms to the shoulders and really taught me how to do the same thing. I was just putting my paws down and thanks to Mr. Steinway, I could, you know, get a decent sound. But really, it really takes that, you know, that kind of knowledge to get the kind of big sound. And she was proof that anybody can get that kind of sound. And Grace, I have no doubt that Taja is going to have to add you to her slideshow. Absolutely. Taja, thank you for that enlightening moment. Taja Coleman-Jones, our 16-year-old roving reporter and resident teen feminist. Grace, you really are an amazingly gifted young pianist, I have to say. And if you wouldn't mind, I think we'd all love to hear you play something else to take us out. Do you have something?
I can play the finale from Symphonic Etudes by Schumann.
Oh, fantastic. Take the piano. That's great. Before Grace plays, I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you for being here, and thanks for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. Again, this is 18-year-old Eunhae Lee. And now, Grace, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Raziman, and our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Serbies. Lighting designed by Tori Sweetser. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks this week to Catherine Picasmo. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program was produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.